Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's going on?
Oh, man, you really brought that radio voice today, huh?
Yeah, dude. I brought it. A little juiced up.
A little hop in the step.
This is the first time we've recorded a podcast episode of the Sports Gambling Podcast while actually engaging in some sports gambling. Right now, we're taping this on a Thursday night. The Clippers are battling back from being down 18 against the Portland Trailblazers, and Chris Paul just laid it in to cut the deficit to 2 points, and they're actually 2-point favorites, so I need them to get on a run here a little bit. I don't know, it wasn't a, I stayed by my pick. Clippers have been playing well, but Portland obviously very tough at home. So.
It's also a back-to-back. Although, I was at the game last night, the Clippers hosted the Wizards, and they mailed it in. They were able to beat the Wizards by 20, not even trying. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was drunk last night watching the game, and I also bet on that game. I had Clippers minus 12. Didn't feel great about it. I even thought about possibly, because the Clippers looked kind of flat in the first half, and I thought about possibly hedging it, but decided against it, luckily, because it would have... If I would have taken the Wizards plus 7, it would have I would have lost that. So I just stayed with my original bet, luckily. But I remember typing a message in my phone that said, just make a living betting against the Wizards and the Charlotte Bobcats. Now, Ryan, I don't know, can you bring up the against the spread records of the Wizards and the Bobcats? Now, maybe I'm just going off of gut feeling here because I haven't, you know, I'm just starting to get myself into this NBA season. Blake for a long two off the glass, no good. But now, how have they been doing against the spread? I feel like they haven't been setting the spreads high enough for these two teams. Am I right?
Well, I will say that the Wizards appear to be, and watching them in person, they appear to be a team that potentially could be good at some time. But they just...
They got John
young.
Wall.
They're too young. All right, so the Washington Wizards are 10-20.
Against the spread?
No, that's straight up.
Okay.
No, that is against the spread. Sorry, 10-20 against the spread.
Jesus,
that's not horrible though.
Ten wins and 20 losses. That's great for betting against.
Oh,
them.
Sure, definitely. You'd be up a couple units there. And what was the other team? Charlotte. Charlotte has been awful this year.
Whoa! Clippers just drained a three. Mo Williams.
Man.
Now they're up 67-66.
So Charlotte 10-19, right around the same area.
Nice. See, that's what I'm saying. If I had just made my living so far this year just betting against Charlotte and against the Wizards, I think that's all I'm going to do now for the rest of the NBA season, just bet against the Washington Wizards and the Charlotte Bobcats.
I feel like they have to adjust at some point.
Right. Well, once it starts getting adjusted, then I'll back off it. And I'll know the perfect time to get off it.
So they are the two worst teams against the spread this year.
See, that's what I, and that was just pure gut instinct. I just from loosely following it and just looking at the spreads and the box scores, that was the feeling I got. Also, how hilarious is it that the DC, they're called the Wizards? That's got to be one of the worst name changes in all of sports. Well, I just love the idea that, okay.
They panicked. It was bullets, and they're like, oh, we got to do something.
I just love the idea. Okay, yeah, well. Now, guys, when they're robbing crack houses, they're just going to, you know, use their magical wand, a couple sorcerers, sorcerer on sorcerer crime. Just the idea that, okay, this is going to change things, renaming the team from the Bullets. I love how in the NFL, everyone still is like, well, the Redskins, that's an awful racial slur. Yeah, so when's kickoff? Like, no one even... Somehow every other sports organization has gotten pressured into changing their team to a politically correct name. I guess that's the only positive thing you can say about Dan Snyder right now is that he does not cave to the... I think he realizes what an awful PR move it would be. Speaking of Dan Snyder, what do you think, Ryan? Peyton Manning destinations? Redskins are kind of in there. Although it sounds like Redskins know basically just on the idea that they're not a championship caliber team. What are your thoughts, Ryan? Will Peyton Manning be a Colt next year?
Yeah, I don't. I'd say he wouldn't be a Colt, right? That seems like the favorite would be. He's not going to be a Colt, and he's probably going to go. I mean, I guess most people would want him to see him go to a contender, right? I mean,
yeah. Supposedly, 49ers are up there as possible teams.
But at the same time, now Sports Illustrated's reporting he had a fourth neck surgery,
yeah.
And that he needs a fifth.
That's crazy. That What, did Chris Paul just drain a three?
Yes,
sir. Chris Paul just drained a three. The Clippers are up 70-66 against the Portland Trailblazers.
Rip City.
It is a weird Rip City versus Lob City. It is weird that you have a secret neck surgery that doesn't bode well.
Yeah, it does seem that it seems like he might not play football again.
It's weird. It's one of those things where I don't know if it's a rumor or not, but Peyton Manning noodle arm is not something you normally hear in a sentence. So when I hear that coming out, I am not high on it. Basically, it sounds like his neck is healed. It's just a matter of the nerves are whether or not they'll regenerate and his arm strength. They don't know how long it'll take to rebuild that arm and whatever. Supposedly the doctors have said that his chances of having that neck re-injured are just as high or low as it would have been prior to the surgeries, which doesn't make sense to me, but
I just don't get why would you try to play?
Because your pussy-ass brother, yeah. Eli Manning, who... Oh, God, how does he have two championships? So you just rubbed one right in his face.
Two Super Bowl MVPs also.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. All right, Ryan, let's keep talking some.
Well, real quick, before speaking of Manning, did you read how Mike Mayock, the NFL Network draft guy, feels that Andrew Luck is not a once-in-a-generation prospect, and he's closer to the likes of Sam Bradford than he is of Peyton Manning?
Whoa.
I feel like it doesn't mean much, but...
I don't think it really makes a difference. Either way, the Colts need a quarterback. You're going to take Andrew Luck, it seems like.
Well, now they're saying that they think the combine is only going to help Griffin. So
yeah, of course, till the Wunderlic comes out.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
He's well-spoken and smart.
I suppose he's a very intelligent guy. But Andrew Luck, a Stanford guy, hard to go against him in the Wunderlic test.
Yeah, I'm sure that's how he got in, right? Yeah. Although, if you ever watched the game, they always talked about his architecture degree and how how he's going to finish and how he's doing an internship and all this. It's like, really?
I remember when he decided to come back for his senior year, just making
fun. No, he came back for his junior year.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
He could have stayed another year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I forgot. But he was supposedly a number one quarterback even coming out the year before last. And he said he would miss his professors and stuff like that, which is the gayest response I've ever heard an athlete say, I'm going to miss my professors. Guess what, Andrew? You're not going to be hanging out with your professors.
Fly him out of the game if you want to see him, you know?
Yeah, you're making $9 million a year. You can hang out and talk house design with your archaeology or architecture professor all day long. He really is. He's a little late in the loafers.
Did you hear the interviews during, like, around the Super Bowl time? They were interviewing Luck about taking over for Peyton in Indy, and he'd be like, I just really would love to play for the organization. You know, I can't really talk to Peyton Manning and his neck injury. And it's just like, God, you're such a tool.
Yeah. But it's one of the – I mean, as much as we like to shit on the athletes, they only get in trouble if they say something crazy. So you understand why he just doesn't want to say anything. So it sounds like Andrew Luck, consensus number one. RG3 sounds like consensus number two pick in the draft, but currently St. Louis has the second pick in the draft. So it sounds like what? St. Louis is going to trade down where they can still probably get the – it sounds like they want that receiver, right?
It sounds like all my sources are saying the Browns are going to trade up.
Ooh, Browns, okay.
Into the two
That's
spot.
That's what I was hearing, Browns
and then Then the Rams would get the fourth pick plus probably some shit, like a second from next year. I don't know. They'll get a nice package, but I think that's something we got to do, Sean. We got to do our mock drafts.
Oh, yes.
Before the draft.
Yeah, screw Mel Kiper and his big board. We're going to have a bigger board.
But, I think I'd be surprised if he didn't go second. Because he's going to test really well at the combine.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying was an argument for why he might sneak into number one, is that he's going to look so good at the combine. But I think... The Colts system, I think it just makes sense for them to have Andrew Luck.
It also came out that Pioli, the GM for the Colts before he got fired, him and his brother, who also worked for the Colts, they both liked Griffin more. So
wow. Well, maybe that's why they got axed.
I mean, RG3, he almost qualified for the Olympics as a freshman in college in the hurdles. So
wow, that's insane. Jim Irsay. Jim Irsay is like a chick. It's hilarious. He just gets drunk on Twitter and tweets late night things. Oh, God. Blake Griffin getting handled in the post. But see... Oh, Caron Butler. Was that Caron Butler airballing?
That was Butler. Butler had Caron a big Butler night last night, though. Caron
Butler just airballed a wide open three. Kenyon Martin looks like he's about to stab someone and then get a tattooed.
I do like how he colored the lips in from being red to now they're his skin color.
I do love how hard guys look with the tattoo lips on the... Is that some gang thing, or like a teardrop tattoo?
I think
the
it's
lips
supposed
on the neck?
I think it's supposed to be something that was for his wife or something. You know. He's got his daughter tattooed on his chest. If you remember, the old Kenyon Martin would pull his jersey and show you his nipple.
That must be uncomfortable when the prostitute's going down on you on the road games. What's that picture of your daughter? Don't look at her!
Daughter staring right at the whore.
Oh, man. Speaking of thugged out NBA guys, Ryan, Allen Iverson is apparently broke. He owes a jeweler $860,000, and sounds like he can't make the payments. Woo! CP3 taking over the game. Clippers up 72-67, 103 left. Ryan, what are your thoughts on AI going broke? We talking about taxes?
It's unbelievable.
We talking about taxes?
I mean, we're talking about a guy who made I can't imagine he made less than $100 million, right?
No way he made less.
That's
than
what
that,
I
right?
So let's say a guy who made $200 million, where'd it go?
And that's the thing, he didn't have any. Who's the guy who lost all the money gambling? The NBA guy.
Oh, Antoine Walker.
Antoine Walker. I kind of like that guy. At least he went down swinging. It sounds like AI just had a crazy, crazy crew. Like, he had a crazy posse. Supposedly they said they would have like 50 of his buddies there at home games. And as much as I like to make fun of him for losing all his money, I feel kind of bad. Like, I feel like AI, what happened to the money, man?
I mean, he even, as recently as a couple years ago, went and played in Turkey for like $5 million.
Yeah, he was looking to get into China. And you know, there are rumors that maybe the Heat would want him as a guard coming off the bench or something like that. He's got all these crazy back problems. And supposedly, you know, people would try to talk sense to AI, which I imagine is difficult. Trying to talk sense to him and saying stuff like, hey, look, man, you can't live like this anymore. You can't just be giving money to all your friends and family. And he... to his credit, and I guess to his own demise, would say, nah, man, nah, dog, this is why I'm here. They made me this, so I owe them. So, and, you know, he grew up in a pretty thug-ass place. Hampton, Virginia, correct?
That's right. Hampton, Virginia.
Was a, you know, home of Michael Vick as well.
Michael Vick, Aaron Brooks. I Missy Elliott's from down there. It's crazy.
Even the chicks are hardcore. Missy Misdemeanor Elliott. But I feel bad for Allen Iverson. Tough times, man. Guy goes broke. You don't want to see that. He was iconic. I still remember that 2001 series against the Lakers when they won. I think they won game one or something. AI went off. It's a good time to be
watching
sports.
He's a legitimate like 5'11", and he averaged 30 points a game. That's crazy.
When he crossed up Jordan, that has got to be one of his greatest moments of all time, and that guy's broke. It's
passing
just
the torch.
Insane.
All right, he made over, slightly over $200 million.
Wow. All right, so $100 million goes to Uncle Sam.
That's unbelievable.
Even with agents and whatever, you're still looking at a cool $75 million clear. How do you lose all that money? And
well, the problem is he didn't pay tax. I'm sure it had something to do with not paying taxes.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you owe a jewelry guy $860,000.
You want to hear some interesting stats?
Oh, wow. Portland just nailed a three with 20 seconds left.
They're going to foul.
Yep. They fouled Mo Williams, who missed some free throws earlier.
All right. So by the time an NFL player has been retired for 2 years, 78% of them are bankrupt or in financial stress. Because of joblessness or divorce. Holy crap. Four out of five guys in the NFL will be broke 2 years out of the league.
That's crazy. That's just insane.
Who would have thought the NBA would be a better league for the 60% in the NBA after 5 years are broke. Wow. I mean, that's what's crazy about that is in the NFL, at least, there's people that don't make a lot of money and it's not guaranteed. In the NBA, it's all guaranteed. I mean, yeah. Antoine Walker had like a $76 million contract. He's playing in the D League in, like, Idaho.
How do you blow through all that? How do you not just get, like, one or two nice houses and just kind of leave it at that?
I mean, did you see that Iverson said he would be willing to play in the NBA D League to get a shot back in the pros?
No. AI, we talking about D League? We talking about D League. God, I just
hate sell tickets.
I just hate to see it from guys like Iverson, who just had such an amazing physical gift.
Wow.
Just see him flush it down the tube. Or, well, I guess he didn't flush it down the tube. He just flushed his finances down the tube, and now he owes $860. And who is this crazy-ass jeweler that's like, oh, AI's good for it? You know?
One more interesting stat. During Shaquille O'Neal's tenure in the NBA, or during his prime, he was spending $875,000 a month.
Who is this?
Shaq.
Shaq? On
including,
what?
Including... They only highlight a couple of things, but
waterbed maintenance.
$2,600 or $26,000 for childcare.
Yeah, that's what gets these
$24,000 for gas.
Oh my god.
$17,000 for clothing. That's a month.
All right. Clippers are up 74-70. Oh, 18 seconds
left. It's gonna come down to a 3-pointer here.
Clippers are up by two. Oh,
no,
they're going to go for a three.
Nope.
Oh, they went for the quick two. Oh, rejected by Blake Griffin, but they called the foul. Wow, Blake is
so shocked. It's still going to come down to a Portland possession because they're going to foul again.
They're going
to
foul. I don't know if you saw, I tweeted it, Ryan, but DeAndre Jordan, they're calling him the Black Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I like that. I did see that, actually.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, Blake is super – wow. Did he foul him with the other hand? Is that what happened? We're watching the replay here. Blake looks astonished.
Blake Griffin's like a ginger. It's weird.
Yeah, no, he is. Yeah, when you mix like that, sometimes you get the super. I guess he is mixed, right? He's half white, half black.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they end up kind of looking super white with the black features.
But I think his mom's a redhead.
Oh, okay. Wow, that really throws off the curve.
Ginger.
AI's broke. That's a shame, man. All right, so let's see what else. Well, Ryan, we're talking NBA, man. We haven't even. Oh, yes, they missed it. Oh, wait, they got stolen? Didn't call a foul? Throws up a desperate three, and now they foul. Game's over? Wow. Clippers win 74-71.
Covered.
They missed the second free throw, and. Look like the Clippers had gotten the rebound, then it got knocked out. They threw up a desperation three.
And the game went well under also.
Yeah, 74-71. No one saw that coming. Man. All right. So let's take a dip into Linsanity, Ryan. You're a New York Knicks fan. God, could it be going any better for New York sports fans right now?
No.
Going right from the miracle in the pile of crap known as the New York Football Giants to Linsanity taking over the Garden, lighting it up.
And the Rangers are, I mean, I'm not a Ranger fan, but the Rangers are playing really, really well, too.
Yeah, I think they're...
they're the one seed in the East right now, I think.
Yes, I think Philly's third right now.
But, so since Lin has started to play legitimate minutes, so he's played in seven games, the Knicks are 7-0, 6-1 against the spread, and I don't understand. So they're kind of crediting D'Antoni for having the system that would allow him to succeed. How the fuck do you not see this earlier? And all the news reports came out that I believe that February 8th was the last day to keep someone as like a 10-day contract guy. Everything after that becomes guaranteed money for the season. And they were planning on cutting him. He basically played on... the fourth and the sixth against Utah and New Jersey and played awesome, and so they kept him.
Amari Stoudemire's brother dying is the only reason this guy's in the league right now.
Yeah, that certainly helped. That and Tony Douglas eating tons of shit early in the season.
Right, and Baron Davis being hurt. But I think Amari was like kind of the last thing right before.
But, yeah, I mean, you watch him, he's legitimately good. He's like a legit basketball player. He's 6'3". Has a similar shot to Steve Nash. Does a lot of things similar to Steve
Nash. Yeah, they were breaking it down. I guess his only kind of flaw, really, as a point guard is the turnovers. But in that kind of D'Antoni system where you're constantly pushing the ball, it's almost okay.
But also the same way he's a young player. Young players have turnovers. So
right, or the same way Steve Nash, even when he was having those great years, would often lead the league in turnovers just because he was pushing the ball up that court. And
well, it's quantity, too.
Yeah, and trying to make passes. I mean, if you're getting two or three times the number of assists to turnovers, it's something you can probably live with. Obviously, you don't want as many turnovers. Now, he seemed to play well with Amari these past couple games. They were running the nice pick and roll there. Amari seemed to be – his points fell down when Amari came back in, but his assists went up, so that's a good sign. But now, Melo comes back. Sounds like he might be ready to go Sunday. They got a primetime game.
He might go Friday, actually, but it sounds more like Sunday.
Oh, okay.
The crazy thing is the fact that Lin's been so successful has made it so – like, reporters actually asked Melo, are you going to be able to play in Lin's system?
Yeah, and that's great.
It's great because they had to address it already. So now it's like Melo will look like the GOAT if he doesn't kind of fit in.
Well, and it's almost the timing's perfect. Whereas if Lin would have done it for only like two or three games, then it would have been, I mean, it is Carmelo Anthony. But I feel like this six or seven games where he's at, it's established a new way to run the Knicks offense. They're doing great moving the ball. It's, you know, just that quick pass, quick decision. Now, do you think having Carmelo back will hurt the team? It sounds crazy,
No, it won't. He's too good. I mean, at the end of the day, I think the whole team is seeing that they're better when Lin's dribbling around. So just having another dominant scorer can't hurt you. I'd be very surprised if they revert back. They play New Orleans on Friday, Dallas on Sunday.
Okay, so they play New Orleans. If you're listening to the podcast, they play New Orleans today. What's the spread?
No, they play them tomorrow. Oh, yes. They listen to the, I get what you're doing here, Sean.
They're listening to this on a Friday, Ryan.
Yeah,
possibly
so
later.
The Knicks are hosting New Orleans, I believe. And Let me pull up the spreads here, Sean.
Yeah, let's bring up the NBA weekend picks, make some of those for the people at home. Now, I had heard, maybe my numbers were off, but it sounded like people are starting laying some action on Jeremy Lin, MVP candidate.
Oh, that would be crazy.
1,000 to 1, something like crazy like that. It sounded like he was jumping around.
He's in the field, but I haven't seen him listed as an individual.
Well, I saw one of those Vegas tweet things going, and
oh, really?
I thought they had him.
That's crazy.
I thought they had him listed at like some kind of crazy, insane odds like that.
So there's no spread in the New York New Orleans game, mainly because Melo's a
based
game
on Carmelo.
I think that's one of those things where you're almost better off with that. I don't think Melo helps the spread that much. So I don't know. I would imagine this is going to be New York by 8, something like that, 8.5, maybe more. New Orleans has been pretty shitty. So
no, wait, sorry, is it in New Orleans?
No, it's in New York.
Okay, so you're looking at 8, 8.5. What
I'd say,
think, right?
I'd say, actually, I'll say between 8.5 and like 13.5.
Wow, you think you can get up that high?
Yeah, just because, I mean, New Orleans has been awful.
All right, well, let's take a look at all of today's action, Friday night picks. Let's get it hopping in the NBA. Riding a 2-0 streak this week with riding the Clippers. Feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Nice, yeah. All right, so Milwaukee travels to Orlando.
Milwaukee at Orlando. What are we looking at here?
Orlando's laying 8.5.
At home?
Looks like it's moved to 7.5 most places right now. So, and the over-under is 192.5. I know, this is, Milwaukee's been one of those teams that's just been, they've been disappointing. I can't see, I mean, Orlando, it comes down to the, we said the same thing last week, comes down to three-pointers. It's hard not to take them just because they've been shooting well now. So
yeah, and Dwight Howard's been playing like a beast, averaging 20-20 almost.
Dwight Howard really is a beast.
It is funny how Shaq hates him. Like, Shaq's jealous.
Shaq's so jealous that he stole Superman.
Yeah,
he's jealous. Like, he looks better than him.
Yeah, it's funny. Like he says, he told Dwight Howard he shouldn't leave Orlando.
He's so scared. What a pussy.
Why is Shaq insecure? He strikes me as an insecure dude. We're watching him talk to Blake Griffin now on the TNT post game.
Yeah, I don't know. Shaq's just, I don't know.
All right, Ryan. So break it down.
Kobe, how my ass tastes. Like what?
Kobe, how my ass tastes.
I don't understand. I still to this day don't understand what he's talking about there. I understand. I think I understand the point he's trying to get across, but why say Kobe how my ass tastes?
You know, that's something you'd have to bring up with Shaq.
You think that's some, like, brother thing on the down low?
He's made a lot of interesting lyrical choices over the year, Shaquille O'Neal.
All right.
So what? Let's go. I like Orlando, 7.5.
I'm going to take Orlando, too.
Man, I don't got a good feeling on this total.
I'm not.
Stay away from this total. I feel like total.
In general, I try to stay away from most NBA games. It seems like your best bet is to bet when you have an edge, when a team's on a back-to-back, or, you know, there's an injury that you may think doesn't affect the team as much as the bookmakers. So Dallas travels to Philadelphia, where Philly is favored by 3.
All right. I like Philly at home. They've been playing well at home.
They've been playing well, but this to me feels like a game that Dallas comes in and plays strong defense and kind of maybe Philly's gotten exposed a little bit of late. But
I think that's some of that's on the road. I think this young team with depth, I like them laying 3 at home. I think, I don't know, Dallas is just kind of old, and they just kind of seem like they're playing their way into shape and kind of taking this year
off.
They're
starting to look good, though. And so I'm going to take Dallas on the road, getting 3.
All right, I'll take Philly minus 3 at home.
Interesting, Sean. All right, so here's Charlotte-Toronto. We almost shouldn't even talk about this.
No, dude, this just falls into my new job
so
I have.
Toronto is laying 7.
Wow. Love it. Love it. Just, Charlotte's awful.
Yeah.
Now they're going into another
country.
They're
on the road.
Toronto?
Yeah, another country. Some dudes up there.
That's what I said. My buddy Justin, I was talking to him about why'd I bet the Clippers versus the Wizards. And I was saying, especially when these bad teams go into big markets, big markets for party. New York, Los Angeles, Miami. These guys are going out and they're getting drunk. You think the guys on the Wizards give a shit? No, they're going to be hungover.
John Wall was out at the club Dougieing last night.
Yeah, I'm sure, dude. At 3-hour time difference, plus you're going to be out drinking.
What killed them, too, is they always stay downtown and since they built up LA Live and like put some clubs down there,
yeah.
And, like now it's like it's just accessible. You just walk out your door and you're, you know,
yeah. If you're anyone building a stadium right now, my advice is whatever the visiting team hotel is, just put a strip club in. How is that? That should just be the basic principle of we're gonna just have a 24-hour strip club, get the hottest chicks, and just tempt these guys. These
well,
guys.
That's the great. Babe Ruth stories, right? When teams would come in from out of town, and often Lawrence Taylor also has the same reputation, but when teams would come in out of town, Babe Ruth would send over booze and whores. And, you know, back then that was totally acceptable. I mean, that was acceptable when Lawrence Taylor was doing it. But
yeah, in the 80s. It is funny
what
how
a
these
clever move. That's you're not getting that kind of information from the Wonderlic.
No, exactly. That's craftiness. They don't measure that on the Wonderlic. That would be funny if they had questions like that. Like, what amount of coke is a good amount to send over to a visiting team? Gram, 2, 3.5 grams, or 4, 1/4 ounce. Then see, you pick 1/4 ounce. That's probably too crazy. The guy might die of a heart attack. It inspires the team emotionally. 1 gram's not enough. 3.5 is probably the perfect number. Wow, you got to give it up for this Clipper team coming back from 18 points down on the road in Portland. Portland is not an easy place to play.
They're a good team. Yeah, Portland's got to be one of the top 5 toughest places to play.
Okay, so we love Toronto laying 7 against the Bobcats in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on board with your theory.
Yeah, it's a solid theory. All right, what else we got going?
So then, next game. LeBron James and the Miami Heat travel back to Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
To play the Cavaliers, where Miami is favored by 9. Now, is Kyrie Irving out?
I didn't hear he was injured.
But yeah.
Throw that up in the Google, see if we can get a take on that. Man, I kind of like Cleveland. This is like one of their they're like one of those teams that are kind of on the cusp of maybe being okay.
Well, that and the fact
Jameson's
that LeBron
been playing good this year, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's Varejao that's out, I believe.
Oh, wow.
But
I like that guy. He's a great spark plug.
God, how
model my own game after Varejao.
How bad did they get after LeBron left? Wow. But no, LeBron opened the door for him to return to Cleveland. I don't know if you saw that today in the news.
Yes, he. What was the exact quote?
He more or less said they asked. I guess I'm sure they asked him, "Would you go back to Cleveland?" And I guess his response was something along the lines of, "Yeah, I would hope the if I came back or when I came back that the fans would embrace me and that you know what's the owner? Oh, Dan Gilbert.
Gilbert.
What he said was probably out of."
Comic Sans font. That was the best part of it.
Out of frustration and anger, and I made some mistakes too, so I hope we could resolve our differences. Wow. LeBron is such a pussy.
He does not know how to do publicity at all. Why does he care? Why does he care if the people of Cleveland don't like him?
I love how Larry Bird said that LeBron James is clearly the best basketball player in the league today. But when asked who he would want to play with from this era, he picked Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Some of that, it's a weird statement for, I think it's in one way extremely complimentary of LeBron, because to say that he's the best player, but also...
I feel like it's more complimentary of Kobe.
Yeah.
Because Larry Bird seemed like a badass in his day.
Game and recognizes game, man.
And if he's calling you tough for playing all those postseasons and never, you know, then that's a pretty huge compliment.
Yeah, well, that's what always got him about Kevin McHale, or that's what he would get annoyed at Kevin McHale, is that Kevin McHale was like...
Anyone who joked around. He was
a normal joking around guy. Larry Bird is just this serious mofo with no sense of humor.
They talked about it in the Magic and Larry documentary, how that's part of the reason that Larry hated Magic, because he was always smiling, and you know he didn't seem like he was intense enough.
Yes, he was always smiling, hooking up with chicks,
yeah.
Hooking up with guys, whatever. You know, he was just down to have fun and party.
Oh, man. So anyway, spread, what did I tell you it was, 9?
Yeah.
Has since we've been sitting here right now talking, moved to 10.
Jesus Christ, they must have heard. They must have heard I was going to pick Cleveland.
So Kyrie Irving is back. He came back tonight, tonight.
Okay, yeah, give me Cleveland plus 10. I'll take that. What else we got on the NBA Friday night docket?
We got Sacramento-Detroit, which Detroit's... I honestly can say I haven't watched 1 minute of the Pistons play this year.
This feels like a stay away, Ryan. What's
and Sacramento is an awful road team. So it's a 2-point spread. I'm going to recommend you don't even bother with this
game.
But
if you do, take the home team. Two bad teams, got to take the home team Friday night, Detroit.
But... So the next one could be a fun one. Golden State traveling to Oklahoma City. Golden State's been awful this year. Feels like a game where you just take Oklahoma City by 10. But, man, they've been playing great. They
look really good.
If they don't make the finals, it's a disappointment, I feel like.
Well, especially in the West. The West is so wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, who are the two best teams in the West right now?
Probably Oklahoma City and... I think you got to say the Spurs right now.
Yeah, the Spurs are playing great.
I think they've won, 9 and 10 in a row?
They're not getting any publicity. It's weird.
Well, it's San Antonio, and it's Linsanity right now.
Linsanity?
What's your favorite Lin word?
I don't know. Linsanity's nice. You got Linning. I mean, my hands down favorite.
Linning!
Hands down favorite, though, is the Yellow Mamba.
Yeah. Did you see the open letter? Was it on Kimmel or was it on Conan? One of the leagues that... open letter from a black dude to Asians. Open letter to all Asians. Please don't take basketball.
Come on, guys. Well, you heard Floyd
Whitlock.
Mayweather's.
Oh, no, but did you hear what Whitlock said?
Yes, Jason Whitlock tweeted out a joke saying, some lucky lady's going to feel a couple inches of pain.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm offended as just like a comedian. You fancy yourself like a witty,
that's a
funny
bad joke.
Guy. It's like, come on.
Here's dude. The thing.
There's plenty of other better Asian jokes you could go to. That's what offends me.
Steve Kerr was on PTI today, and they asked him, like, how does a guy like this slip through the cracks? And he started listing off, you know, he played at Harvard. He's not overly athletic. He's Asian American. And then so Kornheiser's like, well, wait a second. Are you suggesting that because he's Asian American, the GMs didn't look at him? And Steve Kerr was like, no, it's statistics.
Yeah, no, obviously him being Asian was a big part of it.
Yeah, but he was trying to tiptoe around his racist statement.
There. Yeah. Well, it's not racist. There's just not many Asian dudes in the NBA.
First Asian, American-born Asian person to be in the NBA.
First non-freak Asian in the NBA.
Dude, he must be crushing so much. He should come out to L.A. There's so many Asians.
It is funny. Like, everyone's... I mean, they even asked... I was clicking on the TMZ website, and they had a clip of Sarah Palin commenting on Linsanity. Which, could this chick be any more of a bitch?
But one last thing about Lin. Did you see where he lives? He doesn't have his own apartment.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's literally living on
He lives on Landry Fields' couch.
Yeah. No, he was at his brother's couch, and I think now he's...
Yeah, now he's living at Landry Fields, who is the shooting guard for the Knicks. He lives on his couch.
Dude, it builds team chemistry.
Yeah.
Well, they asked Sarah Palin. I guess she had some, like, Jeremy Lin stuff on. She's like, oh, my God, I love this Jeremy Lin. It's such a great American story. He's a true underdog. It's what unites our nation. Bitch, shut up. He's having a good run, and it's hilarious because he's Asian. It's not uniting the country. And I love how everyone says this is crazy underdog story. He's not an underdog, really. He's a dude, he's a super smart Asian guy from Harvard with like a great Harvard degree who got a break playing basketball. But it's not like he's...
Well, the one
thing... They love how they make it like he's some down-and-out janitor.
He's not an undersized player either. He's 6'3 at point guard, which is a good... You know, that's a pretty good size.
Yeah, he's physically gifted. He's kind of a baller. Here's the thing. He didn't play this well at Harvard.
He played well. I mean, that Harvard team was in the tournament. I mean, look, at the end of the day, maybe the D'Antoni system is the key because...
I think also it just inspired play because he realized, hey, this is my one shot if I don't...
That's why the Garden's great. There's only a couple basketball stadiums can do what the Garden does. And Portland's one of them, though, so that's a big win for the Clippers tonight. Speaking of Sarah Palin, have you seen the trailer for this movie, Game Change?
No.
It might be an HBO movie. It's the Sarah Palin, John McCain story.
Oh, nice.
John McCain played by Ed Harris.
Ooh, all right.
It's very strange.
Could see that.
And then Sarah Palin is played by Julianne Moore.
How is Tina Fey not just making
Julianne Moore looks like her. Looks really? It's pretty uncanny.
It's weird. I feel like her look is kind of generic. Like, even that porno Nail and Palin, I feel like the chick on the cover looked a lot like Sarah Palin. All right, Ryan, let's round out the NBA weekend. Any other – give me a couple good matchups.
Well, I love Minnesota this year. Minnesota's been a fun team to watch. They're traveling to Houston. They're getting six on the road.
All right. How they been on the road lately?
Well, I'm going to – I've not looked at this, but I'm going to pull up their ATS numbers. I have a feeling they're above 500. 16-14, not great. 8-4 on the road. So I'm guessing they're doing really well as dogs, and not so good as faves. But yeah, I go Minnesota here.
I like Minnesota at Houston. I like that.
And I'm still loving my Ricky Rubio to win Rookie of the Year at 7-1 right now.
Nice. What'd you lay on that?
I laid a C note.
There you go.
Yeah.
Takes money to make money. Any other? What else we got going in the NBA?
Not really. I mean, we got Washington is going to Utah. Probably didn't go home from LA to fly all the way back to Utah. So
okay,
probably
just tell me how much they got a
10 points.
Wow.
Utah by 10.
Utah's laying 10. Yeah. I'll take that all day.
Well, you got to figure. I wonder if the Wizards flew to Utah last night or if they stayed in LA. The smart move would be go to Utah. There's no clubs in Utah. They probably stayed in L.A. and got all crunk in the club.
Yep. Celebrate their debacle.
Yeah, I like...
Part of your Valentine's Day, right, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. I was down there. It was fun. Day after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but that's how you celebrate, though, day after. Yep. Show Hallmark you're not accustomed to.
Yep. Went to the Clippers game and watched John Wall and Chris Paul throw so many alley-oops. It was a pretty fun game to be at. There were just so many alley-oops. And our seats were down low, so we were kind of basket level. So it really gives you an appreciation for how high these dudes are jumping.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Blake and I saw LeBron James at the Staples Center. And seeing LeBron James live is a sight to be seen.
It's unbelievable.
He stands out just how big he is and just the way he commands the court. It's insane that he doesn't win every game. It does not make sense.
It's one of those things where the guy... I mean, it's impressive to see any basketball player up close and personal, because when you see in your normal life, you see someone who's 6'5", you're like, holy shit, that guy's tall. And on the basketball court, 6'5 is relatively short. I think the average NBA player this year is like 6.5 feet tall.
Wow.
6'9", maybe.
That's crazy.
And, I think it's actually 6'8.5 or 6'9". But, yeah, it's – I don't know. So, yeah, seeing LeBron's crazy. Seeing – I don't know if you ever saw Shaq play in person. That was
– No.
When I was a kid, we used to go to Nets games. So, when Shaq came into the league, we went and saw the Nets play Orlando. I was actually at the set one of the games where he took down the goalpost or the hoop.
Really?
The guy was enormous. I mean, you're a little kid too, so you're looking at this. He was absolutely enormous.
Yeah, and he got much bigger too. That's when Shaq came into the league. He was a svelte dude. Like when he was at LSU, he was not a fat guy at all.
I mean, it was similar to Barry Bonds, right? And I don't think Shaq took any HGH.
His human growth hormone was just carbs.
Yeah, it was Roscoe's chicken and waffles.
All right, so it sounds like we got the NBA locked up here. Anything, what's your take on college? Any college?
Well, we're coming to the time now where it's real fun to bet on the college game, because conference schedules are winding down. You have conference tournaments which are always fun, which start end of February, early March, leading up to the tournament. And that's when you really start getting into it. Although I've started watching a little earlier this year, doing my research for my my trip to Vegas, and I gotta say, Syracuse is the best team in the country that I've watched. Almost every team in the top 10.
Now, I haven't been following the story too much. Is there anything related to the sex abuse scandal that could come out late and possibly affect the team at all?
No, it sounds like nothing. They do have this guy named Fab Mello. His first name's Fab. He looks retarded. He probably is retarded, but he blocks everything. He just blocks every shot. Syracuse does what you need to do in the tournament. They hit their free throws. They have really good guard play. They can shoot it from the outside. They can go inside. And then the key is they play that killer zone defense.
Now, what about the Spartans, Michigan State? Nice win over Ohio State last weekend.
I think there's going to be...
plus, you can't... It's coaching makes a big difference. Tom Izzo teams are usually pretty strong.
Well, one of the trends that our buddy Casey always used to talk about is he loved taking a Tom Izzo coach team on the second game of a weekend. So if Michigan State wins the first game... Take Michigan State in the second round, because there's no one that can, you know, coach up a team in 48 hours like Tom Izzo. And I feel like I've done it every time it's been possible, and they've done well.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, that's one element, I guess, of the tournament you don't hear talked about a lot. Just the ability to game plan quickly, ability to figure out a team's opponent, ability to make halftime adjustments. It's all compressed.
Yeah, I mean, Calipari is like the opposite. He's not a great in-game coach. He just recruits sick talent. Jim Boeheim, I would say, is a pretty good coach. I can't see myself betting against this Syracuse team. I really like what they're doing. I also like another team that I can't wait to bet against, Duke. They're just all jump shots. I don't see that. They have good guards, but it's all jump shots.
Yeah, Austin Rivers, but yeah, it's a lot of
Austin Rivers,
balls.
Seth Curry. I just too many jump shots. Now North Carolina, they're so athletic. They have a couple big guys inside. I think they could make a legit run.
Now what about UNLV? I've heard their name being thrown around as possible.
I haven't really made
Sweet 16 type team.
They're playing well. I haven't really. Gotten into the mid-majors yet. But I don't know. I think the Big Ten's going to be well represented, because it's been a tough conference and they've been playing well all year. Michigan could be a team that could surprise this year. They got Tim Hardaway Jr. He's balling.
Sweet.
They got Tim Hardaway Jr. and a bunch of white guys who can ball. They're a pretty good team, too.
So maybe now Michigan becomes the team where Uncle Toms go to.
Yeah, maybe.
Who had that quote?
That was a
Fab Five documentary.
Was that Chris Webber or Jalen Rose?
I think it was Jalen Rose.
Yeah. And, I mean, so the other big story was Murray State was going undefeated, and now they lost the game. And It's funny because even when they were undefeated, they were only projected as like a 7 seed in the tournament just because they hadn't played anyone. Missouri, have you watched Missouri at all? They play fun basketball. Yeah, they are another team, really good guard play, and they don't need to shoot jump shots all the time.
Now, who's the kind of is there a dominating big man this year
Sullinger.
In college?
Sullinger. Yeah, Ohio State, you got Sullinger. Ohio State's going to be a tough team. On Kentucky, you have a guy, Anthony Davis, who he leads the nation in blocks, and it's like it's some absurd amount of blocks. I'm actually looking it up right now. They don't show it. He leads the nation in rebounding, too, at 10 rebounds, 5 blocks a game this guy averages.
It's insane.
And then, like I told you, the Fab Mello on Syracuse is another defensive presence. Kansas is in the mix. Baylor's one of those teams that's always in the mix, but they're just super athletic, and they always end up losing because they don't have that strong guard play you need. Georgetown, who's ranked 10th, wasn't even picked to go finish 10th in the Big East.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're having a good year. They could be the team that's like the Cinderella almost, even though they come from a big conference. Indiana's got Tyler Zeller's little brother, I think he's better than Tyler Zeller on North Carolina, but that's another team. It's Indiana. They have a good coach, good guards. We'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, we got a lot of. We'll do it. Definitely do a huge podcast.
Well, you know what we got to do. We got to
the tournament.
We got to do a live bracket selection.
Yep, do the whole brackets. Break that down. We'll do one podcast the night before tip off. We'll get a lot going there, and of course, covering all the conference play.
We'll have to do some live takes from Vegas too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
for the recap show.
Bring out the mic, set it up, and possibly get some event going on. It's in the works. All right, Ryan. Ron Jaworski getting the axe for Monday Night Football.
Oh, my.
ESPN putting all their cards, all their chips, all their eggs in the John Gruden nest.
Probably got something to do with the fact they're paying John Gruden like $2 million a year. Jaws is probably making like 40 grand.
I don't know. I wonder. There's no way he wasn't getting a good deal.
No, I'm sure he's doing all right. But Gruden, they publicly had to pay him because he was going to leave and coach. And for some reason, they wanted him really badly to do Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I like some of the stuff he does, but I don't think he's any sort of star on Monday Night Football. I guess they're feeling like he has star potential and that Jaws was holding them back. I don't know. I mean, I felt like their relationship...
Half of Monday Night Football was them arguing.
Yeah, I felt like their relationship was kind of annoying, but
it was funny.
Yeah, it was mildly entertaining, or it was just at least like if the game was bad, you could just always count on them to give each other shit. Now, what do you think? I don't know. That's gotta just suck for Jaws. Now he's just gonna be
be doing like midnight shows of NFL Live.
Yeah, he's gonna do NFL 32. He's gonna call into Mike and Mike. But he got a 5-year contract, so he can't be complaining that much. But I don't know why is John Gruden that much better than Ron Jaworski? Doesn't make sense.
They're
to me.
Scared of the 3-man booth.
Yeah, but they're not. They've used the 3-man booth. I feel like so long in Monday Night Football, and especially ESPN since they've had it. I thought it's always been 3-man booth, right?
Well, didn't they twice have a 3-man booth and then fire one man and go to two? Because with Kornheiser, it was the same deal, right?
Well, yeah, it was Kornheiser.
Who was
and,
the other?
It was Kornheiser, Tirico, and Theismann. Then they got rid of Theismann, brought in Jaworski.
And they fired.
And then they got rid of Tony Kornheiser and then brought in John Gruden, right?
They just had bad ideas. Get serious. Go out. Hire Ocho Cinco or something. He's dying to get off the field.
Albert Haynesworth. Sure you could get him.
Have you ever seen a behind-the-scenes thing with Albert Haynesworth? He's this giant hillbilly.
Yeah, he's involved in the RVing, or not
no,
RVing.
No, rock crawling.
Yeah.
That's his big off-season activity. He drives these vehicles with giant wheels over boulders.
He's a bizarre man.
What a hillbilly.
He's got to go down as one of the biggest busts.
He was great, though, for years. That's the thing is he was...
Yeah, I guess he did have a... I mean, his career was a bust. He wasn't necessarily a bust, but he just had such potential.
And he stomped at a dude's head.
Goes down as a winner. All right, Ryan, let's see. Any other gambling news you want to get to?
Well, of course, I'm sure many of our listeners are big Top Shot fans.
Oh, yes.
Of course, Top Shot Season 4 premiere was on Valentine's Day. just an awesome, awesome idea.
Real quick, I got to get back in.
Won't ruin anything, but they this year, Sean, in years past, they've mimicked history. This year, they're going to make history. All right? And so this year, they started with 18 people. And the initial competition is to shoot one shot on a target. Worst two shots, go home immediately.
Oh, my God.
Wow, yeah. And then it goes back to the normal. And I think this year they're going to be more intense. They showed the promo. They're shooting cannons again.
Yes.
They're shooting a grenade launcher, which I'm not, I have no clue what's going on with
How
that.
How has no one died on Top Shot yet?
Oh, so anyway, so if you are interested... A real fun thing to do is it's down to 15 right now. They started with 16, knocked one guy off. You get two friends. You draw, you draw numbers out of a hat, or if you're a real man, you do a little rock, paper, scissor, probably best of three tournament, round robin. And then you do a snake draft, and each person drafts five players, and you enjoy Top Shot.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Simmons likes to, have some weird reality TV draft thing. And who cares? We're not watching those shows. But this is a marksmanship competition.
Yeah,
you get really invested in the show. I think I won maybe the first year we did it.
It's the best. It's clearly the best reality TV show.
And it is funny. You're like, oh, I don't know who to draft. But just after you watch one episode, you're like, oh, this dude is the guy to draft.
I've been doing some research.
Yeah.
Got my eye on this British special.
Well, let's do it. Let's do it, Ryan. Let's get a draft going. We'll get one more guy.
All right.
Are you already in a draft?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, we'll see. There might be a spot opening up, though.
Okay.
Yeah,
right,
one of the three guys might be out.
Oh, what happened?
Corporate
politics?
Little this, little that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, guy wasn't cool with our Friday afternoon CeeLo games. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So maybe he's...
We'll see. We'll see. I'll let you know.
Typical corporate drama. Guys getting kicked
regardless,
out.
Regardless, we will go... I don't want to ruin who gets kicked off the first episode if you haven't seen it, but going forward... We will be recapping Top Shot.
Agreed. That sounds like a good...
Every Thursday.
Yeah, it's perfect, because...
And I think we weren't really prepared this week, but we do have to have... What's the host name? Is it Cole? We need to have the Cole...
Cole clip of the week?
Call of the day.
Yes. The guy is... I think he's originally from Survivor. He's got super white teeth.
He finished second on Survivor, Sean.
And amazing energy. And he sells this reality show... Like none other. It's amazing. You think you're seeing explosions and you don't need a guy to hype it up? Wrong. You have not seen Top Shot.
He's the Gus Johnson of reality TV show hosts.
He's amazing. Good times.
You watch the show he takes the show over. He takes the show. And they still do the hilarious dubs where clearly he didn't say that in the moment. But it's great. It's so great.
Oh, and Ryan, I'm assuming they're still doing the elimination range.
Of course.
The elimination range is when it comes down to
it's the vote, basically.
Yeah, it's basically you vote of who the last...
Who's getting sent to elimination.
Right.
Which two people are going head-to-head to go home.
Yeah, it's a simple concept. Whatever team loses, they have to send a guy home. And instead of just voting, like names in a hat, they fire... They have the guy's name written against
a target.
Bullseye, and you fire a handgun at the guy's target. It is funny sometimes. Occasionally, I think they've missed the target when voting. That's never a good sign that you're going to stick around.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I mean, it's a great show because I can't say for...
It's on the History Channel, Tuesdays at 9 p.m., I want to say. 10 p.m. maybe.
And then Pawn Stars right after that?
Yeah, I'm not... I know Pawn Stars is like the number one show on cable or some crazy shit now, but... I don't know. It's like, it's the same shit. Chumlee's funny. He's retarded. I get it.
Yeah, there was some novelty in it, but I definitely didn't.
It used to be it was a good show for a couple of seasons, but it's kind of the same thing.
And they get a little self-aware, the old man.
You want to see a real pawn shop show? You watch hardcore Pawn Stars on True TV. It is one of those, not scripted, but scripted reality shows that takes place in Detroit. So you basically, the show is black dudes in Detroit, and there's a casino across the street from the pawn shop.
Oh, my
God. So it's just black dudes going to gamble. Like, this dude came in, pawned his rings, went and played craps, won $1,200, came back, got his rings, and left. Like, that's the show. It's great.
Did you ever see that reality show Bait Car?
Oh my goodness!
Have you seen it?
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's.
It's unbelievable.
How
funny.
Is this part of our society? But it is. Basically, it's a bait car, meaning it's a car that they set up to catch car thieves.
So question, how is that not entrapment?
I think
you're actually committing a crime willingly.
Right. Entrapment would be if the
they dropped you off in front of the car.
Well, if the officer said, hey, you want to go... If the officer initiates it saying, like, hey, let's go rob this car... Or let's go steal this car, and then you steal the car, and then he arrests you.
Nonetheless, those guys are retarded.
All right, good times. Bait Car, Top Shot. Make sure you check out Top Shot, guys. We'll be getting a lot of hot Top Shot talk going on here. Of course, all the picks.
Yeah, well, we should outline. So what do we got? Next week we'll do same deal. But then I think starting the first, we can have a little college conference tournament talk.
Yeah.
That's going to be coming in.
A lot of college basketball talk working up in March.
A lot of college basketball. And then at some point in March, we got to have super mega baseball season bet.
Oh, yes.
Preview.
That's always great. Yeah, maybe
those
late.
Those are the best kind of bets.
After the tournament slows down. Yeah. And then we got the NFL draft.
Oh, boy.
Get our big boards
out.
Well,
the combine's next weekend. So
okay, get a little combine talk. You want to do a...
Some 40 times?
Yeah, you want to... all right, let's do a RG3 40 time over-under, Ryan.
Oh, interesting. All right, so... Wow, I have no knowledge at how fast he runs. I'm guessing... So to gauge it, Michael Vick ran a 4.31, I believe, at the combine.
Okay.
I don't think he's as fast as Michael Vick. I think... I'm going to set the over-under at 4-4. Let's do 4-4.
Look at that, Ryan. Look at that number I wrote there.
Actually, let's make let's make it 4-4-2 over-under.
Okay. What do you want?
I have a feeling he's not going to... God, maybe he'll just blow it. I'll take the under.
I'll take the over on RG3's
I want him to run... I want him to just test ridiculous. I want him to get in a good situation that... would allow him to do have like kind of what Cam Newton did. He seems exciting to me. I'm kind of excited about him more than any other player in the draft.
Yeah, definitely so far.
Throw the ball. He really can throw. Like they always pointed out during his college games at Baylor, but hey, this is a great quarterback who happens to be athletic.
Yeah, no, he definitely seems like Cam Newton, but Cam Newton didn't even seem he's definitely stepped his game up since he went to the NFL, so it'll be interesting to see RG3. All right, I'll take the over, 4.42 in the 40 in the NFL Combine. Hey, you can follow me on Twitter, at Green Room Show. Ryan, you want to throw out your Twitter handle?
At KramerCentric. I've kind of been active now.
Okay, getting a little more active.
I got angry the other night and tweeted that I felt that people need to stop comparing Jeremy Lin to Tim Tebow.
Oh my God, that's
talking about a Harvard graduate. Harvard doesn't do sports scholarships. He was there on his own merits. You're comparing this kid to a homeschooled retard who can't throw a football.
It's not the same story at all.
Tim Tebow might be
considered the greatest college player of all time.
I would say he's at a minimum a top five college football player ever. Top 10, maybe. But we're talking about a kid who, he shouldn't have been drafted in the first round, but he was drafted in the first round.
Jeremy Lin was undrafted.
Yeah, the NBA is one of those leagues where if you don't get drafted in the first 15 picks, you might never make a team. I mean, if you make a second round pick, you're not. It's basically like being undrafted. You're not, no guaranteed money. You're just claimed by.
And Jeremy Lin, he wins, and they also is really good statistically and looks really well. No one says Jeremy Lin doesn't know how to dribble the basketball, and then he's making these crazy shots to win the game at the end.
I mean, they're comparing him to Steve Nash. I don't think Tim Tebow has been getting compared to Joe Montana. Steve Nash is one of the greatest point guards ever.
Right. That's an apt comparison. Compare him to Steve Nash. But Steve Nash, people knew he was going to be good, or they had an idea at least.
It's like, I guess maybe they can compare Tim Tebow to, like, one of those old-school great quarterbacks before they threw the football, but...
It's insane.
Unbelievable.
It's nothing... They're not... I guess they are Christian. I guess Jeremy Lin's religious, but they're not related at all. And SportsCenter loves Tebow mania. Now Jeremy Lin insanity. Linsanity.
It's Lincredible.
Lincredible. Linning. Brought to you by Lenny.
Well, I think the
game... He already had his own top 10 Jeremy Lin highlights.
It's what's funny is how does it play out if it's not New York? How does it play out if this is the Pacers or, you know, Portland?
Golden State. Yeah, I think it's a little bit more of a global thing, just sports in general, a little bit more national.
It helps that the Knicks are under a microscope, and the Knicks were supposed to be good, and the Knicks have two superstars.
I think the Knicks fans jump onto it way more intense about it than other fans.
Well, it's just, you know, if he's doing this on a team by himself, like in Charlotte, no one gives a shit.
I don't think they're cutting out pictures of Jeremy Lin's head that they photocopied.
There's no Marry Me Jeremy signs going on in Charlotte.
The funniest is the Asian girls in the crowd with their iPads that are, instead of...
Oh, it's like flashing?
It's like scrolling text on their iPad saying Marry Me Jeremy Lin.
Now, I have no idea if this person was Japanese, but they love doing stuff that might create seizures. These Japanese people, it's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I guess he's actually Taiwanese, but...
Well, he's American.
Right, he was born in America. Yeah. All right, good times. For
Kramer Centric,
I'm Sean Green, and let it ride.